9 years ago, a new reality show with a twist aired on Logo TV. It was RuPaul's Drag Race and has become one of the most popular reality shows on television. In season five, one of the contestants was a local drag performer, Penny Tration. And Penny is joining me in the studio this evening to talk a little bit more about RuPaul's Drag Race and drag in Cincinnati. Welcome, Penny.
Hello.
Now, you were in season five.
Yeah.
You were a fan favorite. Tell us what was involved in the fan favorite choice.
A lot of voting. So it kind of started as one of those like grassroots things where I'm like, I've auditioned every single time for the show, including for season five. And the audition process is a painful one. They have a lot of requirements that don't make a lot of sense, but you still have to fill it out in order for them to even consider you as part of the pool. And then Logo came up with this really great idea to vote someone onto the show. And I think they may have done that one time before, but this was the first time it was a real big push for them in the PR world, for them to push real hard on trying to get this vote out. So we did it. And then next thing you know, there were lots of people voting and lots of people involved. And it's kind of like the best possible way it could have gone. So it wasn't just me saying, hey, vote for me. It was me saying, hey, vote for me. And then you saying, hey, vote for Penny. And then there were old ladies in nursing homes voting somehow. It was really an incredible big community push, which was, again, the best possible outcome for me, for the way for it to go. And then, lo and behold, I made it to the final round. And I thought that was good enough, actually. I thought I made it to the final round. I've already submitted my audition tape, but this was a secondary part of it. I made it to the final round, which was five people, I think. And to be honest, I thought Adore Delano, who ended up being on the subsequent season, had won. Adore was on American Idol in one of the earlier seasons and was a really great performer, singer, and had a huge fan base. And I thought she had won. And then I got a call.
Well, and for listeners who may not be familiar with the premise of RuPaul's Drag Race, it's a collection of anywhere from 10 to 14 drag performers who come in to compete against each other in different types of challenges.
It's America's Next Top Model and The Amazing Race. If those two things had a baby, it would be RuPaul's Drag Race.
And they do a lot of things. They do acting, they do drag performance, yeah. They do costume competitions. And now you yourself as a drag performer, not only perform, but you do your own wigs and wigs for other people in the drag community. What's involved in the things that you do as a drag performer?
All of that started as self-defense. I couldn't afford to pay Patrick Howell to make me an amazing costume. I couldn't afford to have a wig made by an incredible wig maker, and the jewelry was out of my league completely, even until recently. And Dolly Parton said it best, it's expensive to look this cheap. It costs a lot of money. So I started just, again, out of self-defense, I'm going to teach myself how to do this. And this is before the days of watching a YouTube video. You know, this is 20 years ago, trying to figure out how to use a sewing machine, discovering that a sewing machine is maybe not the best choice, that you need an overlock serger sewing machine, and then fabrics that do and don't work. I think what you see on stage, if you go to a drag show, you see someone perform for about 3 minutes, and that is definitely the version of the duck on the pond. You're only seeing the smooth stuff, not the crazy paddling underneath to make it happen. It costs me standing there on stage costs about $1,200 just for that one look, including all the undergarments and additions and subtractions. And then it takes about 40 hours to put one costume together. Of course, there's some efficiencies, you know. I don't have to have a different pair of shoes for every single outfit, and I don't have to have a different corset for every single outfit. But in general, about $1,000 for a single look.
And for the show, each of the drag queens brings their collection of costumes and wigs and makeup and things like that. But there are occasions when they're asked to make something.
Yeah.
And it's not 40 hours that you get.
No. In my challenge, the first challenge, the only challenge, unfortunately for me, was dumpster diving. Now, of course, they'd pretty much set the dumpsters with things that you could use, but we definitely had, I think, 5 minutes and a trash bag to pull out as much as we could from these dumpsters into the trash bag and then go back to the workroom. And I think we had 3 or 4 hours to put something together.
You mentioned that it was a fairly short stint on the show.
Yes.
During your time there, what surprised you the most about the program? Obviously, you'd watched it. You were very aware of what goes on TV. What was it that surprised you the most?
It's long. Filming a television show, the hour of TV is, I think, 40 hours of filming to drill down to an hour of usable footage. I didn't expect to be, and had never before, been in drag, which is constrictive to say the least. Just normal bodily functions don't happen. From like a physiological perspective, like you are corseted and tied and bound up in ways. And as well, having your feet in those shoes for standing for that number of hours while they're setting lights and they're checking sound. And it's hot. Air conditioners can't be on because of the noise that the breeze makes. And I didn't expect it to be as long, and I didn't expect it to be as physically demanding as it was.
Now, so far, you are the only drag performer from Cincinnati who has appeared on Drag Race.
To the best of my knowledge.
Most of them come from some of the larger cities, New York, yeah. Chicago, Los Angeles, Las Vegas is a big location. Mm-hmm. But you get some other people from, you know, Georgia or Alabama or Nebraska. Did you notice a difference between the attitude of the big city drag queens versus the smaller city and town drag queens?
I think there is definitely a difference between what we do for drag in the Midwest and what's done on the coasts, so to speak, Chicago and Florida being other coasts. But there's definitely a difference in the drag that we do, where all the drag that we do in the Midwest is pretty much designed around a Friday or Saturday night drag show. And the coasts is more about a really beautiful picture and an event host, someone who's at a party walking around as part of the atmosphere. And that's why a number of the girls who were on the show who had never performed in a drag show before. Having said that, RuPaul's Drag Race isn't a drag show. It's a competition show with people who happen to be in drag. So there's a little bit of a combination there that's not exactly translatable, but it definitely made a difference when it came to performance. And you could see that in the show.
Now, many of the drag queen contestants who have appeared on RuPaul's Drag Race have gone on to participate in some of their touring shows.
Yeah.
Have you maintained any connection with the program?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're under contract for a couple years, and then after that's over, contact is more sporadic with the production company for sure. I was lucky to have been doing this a long time before RuPaul's Drag Race. So when I walked onto set, we already, half of the folks there, we were already friendly, if not friends, and had, of course, the internet has changed the way we all interact. And we all, I wouldn't say we're like best friends every single day, but we definitely have some contact.
Now, as you said, you've been doing this for 20 years prior to going on the show. And you're part of, you're a major part of Cincinnati's drag performance community. Tell us a little bit more about the community and what is involved beyond performing.
So there are a couple of things, and some of them are a little bit like drag queen bitterness. One of them is you never hear from somebody until they have a fundraiser that they need someone to host. That one will get us sometimes. And at the same time, it's kind of like that guy who meets someone new and then you don't hear from them until they break up. That sort of thing where you're like, of course, we'll host it. Could you potentially maybe call me at some other point? But there's lots of fundraising. And I think that's part of the whole experience here and being part of a community in a city this size is that it's not only a requirement and an expectation, but it's kind of like what you should do. It is the right thing. We're lucky to live in a city that does lots of fundraising for organizations that wouldn't get those funds otherwise or couldn't do the same things. It's very easy to get a grant for an administrator for your nonprofit organization. It's not easy to get a grant for toilet paper. And if you've ever been without toilet paper, you realize how important it is. So there's an organization in the city called the Imperial Court. They do tons of fundraising, well over $1 million in fundraising since their inception. And they have designated charities. There's a lot of private party hosting where you are an event host and you're paid to just walk around and be a part of atmosphere. There's, of course, the Friday and Saturday night drag shows that most people are familiar with. If you're not, you should go to one, even if you have no interest, I promise. It'll be a good time. And then the newest thing now, and it's not new, but there's been a big push now all of a sudden for drag brunch. There's been lots of drag brunches pop up. We do one here in Cincinnati on the third Saturday of the month at Below Zero, but they've popped up everywhere. There's one in Louisville that's doing really well. There's one in Richmond, Virginia at Godfrey's that's been going on for well over a decade at this point. And all the Hamburger Marys have drag brunches. And it's kind of like if you've never been to a drag show, it's kind of an easy introduction. for folks maybe who are interested and curious but not ready to go out and get drunk on a Friday night.
So for those who are interested in going out on a Friday or Saturday evening instead of getting up early on Sunday for brunch, where are drag performances held in Cincinnati?
There are a number of them. The one that's downtown that's probably the most convenient for most folks is at the Cabaret at Below Zero Lounge. That's at 1122 Walnut Street downtown. And then there is a place called the Main Event over on Main Street. If you live further outside of town, maybe if you're north of the city, there's a place called Old Street Saloon that is also a good time. And I'm sure there are a couple places over in northern Kentucky as well.
Well, I can say I've seen you in performance. I've seen you as a hostess and involved in community activities and just one of my all-time favorite drag performers.
Oh, thank you.
I'd like to thank this evening's guest, Penetration, a former contestant on season 5 of RuPaul's Drag Race. You might want to check out RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars, currently running on VH1. And of course, links to drag performance information will be available on our website at wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, this is Jim Stump.
It's the first day of spring. Flowers are blooming. I'm spreading my wings, embracing the beauty.